Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, I don't know why that guy keeps calling me Tim Wildman. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman, who will be back in the captain's chair tomorrow for Trivia Friday. I am in studio with Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now, and Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Beautiful day here at our headquarters.
It is. You know, we had a Walker. We've complained. I'll admit, I've complained to our listeners that we are having to go across the street this week while they're redoing our other.
How many feet is that?
I will say this. Even though I was complaining, when I walked out the doors to go across the street, I thought, Lord, thank you for a beautiful spring day.
It's so gorgeous.
It is. Yeah. If I were the president, I would be golfing right now. But the president of the United States, because I know President Obama and President Trump likes his golf game, too.
Oh, I thought you were talking about president of AFA.
Well, probably both. If I was in either of those positions, I could make that decision, but I'm here.
Unfortunately, you can actually get in trouble with the real president.
Yes, so, I can.
So you're in your office
doing
today.
Doing my job.
So. All right, Fred, we have tons of stuff to talk about. I don't know what's going on in the world, but it never used to be this way. We never used to have a lot to talk about.
No.
It's endless.
We could start where we left off the other day, Ed, on the spiritual warfare in our country. Because all, you know, the stories that we deal with are all connected to that.
Yes.
And we had a great discussion about that the other day.
Yeah, we did.
And Walker, go
out,
to the podcast.
Yes. I'll go back and listen. Go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast if you weren't listening to the show.
While you're golfing, Walker, you could be listening. So,
well, we want to review what happened yesterday at the United States Supreme Court, because a case that we've been discussing for some time, the Trinity Lutheran Church case, that one out of Missouri, that is a case where a church-run school had applied for a state grant to put kind of the rubber covering on the ground of their playground, and which, you know, the grants are available to all schools to protect kids, little kids that are playing. And they were told, hey, separation church and state, we can't do that kind of thing. So this case has been making its way up through the court system. It arrived at the United States Supreme Court yesterday. I suppose it got even some extra attention because it was the first case heard by the brand new justice on the court, Justice Gorsuch. Well, the arguments took place yesterday, and it was an interesting case for another reason. The state initially had denied the grant to the church, but since the new Missouri governor came in, he basically backed away from the earlier decision. So there's some discussion that when the two lawyers showed up, the lawyer for the state and the lawyer for the school, Supreme Court would just say, wait a minute, the state has changed its mind on this. Why are we even listening to this? Mm-hmm. But both parties in the case wanted this case to be heard because of the constitutional importance, mm-hmm. separation of church and state, religious freedom, all of that sort of thing. We have a story on One News Now this morning that you should go and read, because apparently it was fascinating. Travis Weber of the Family Research Council actually got to sit in the courtroom yesterday and listen to the arguments. And he came away with a very distinct impression that the Supreme Court will likely rule in favor of the church. They just could not see. And even justices, liberal justices on the court like Sotomayor, apparently had some very pointed questions for the state as to why you would have this rule, and the whole philosophy of separation of church and state doesn't apply here. These are rubber mats,
right,
to keep kids safe.
Yeah.
That's all. And so it's his belief, Travis Weber believes, it'll likely be a 7-2 decision.
Yeah. Or you know, 6-3 or 7-2. I mean, that would be thrilling to not have yet another 5-4 decision. You know, it is strange that we've come to the place where something that I want to say secular purpose, but it's not really secular. But, you know, but the point I'm making is rubber mats for kids to be safe on a playground.
Right.
That's not religious.
No.
That applies. That should apply to we want all kids to be safe. Mm-hmm. And just because this is a school run by a church doesn't mean the government is entangling itself with religion, and it doesn't mean that the state is taking part in religious instruction. It is simply helping to protect. Now, if it was giving money to the staff while they teach Bible, mm-hmm. or something like that, I could see where that might be a problem. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want my tax money going to teach Islam. So, not that I'm equating the religions, but that's mm-hmm. generally what some of the arguments are made. So, Walker, this would be a breath of fresh air to have some common sense rulings coming mm-hmm. from the Supreme Court on an issue that, frankly, the Supreme Court has confused for the last 60 years.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of ministries, large and small, across the country that somehow, some way, receive grants or some kind of tax, some kind of dollars, whether it be from the state or from the federal government. And if the city's argument were to stand that religious organizations are disqualified from government money, period, whether it be for mats on a playground or feeding the poor, that would have been a huge blow. And so it was important. And you even have groups like Samaritan's Purse, who in some areas, I believe, receive federal funds. And they do great work, not all necessarily religious work. You know, they just help people in need, whether they be Christian or not. And I think it's important that we allow groups like that to still receive aid, because they are doing good work. And I think Christians groups, religious groups, should be able to receive aid, period.
Well, I think this is true when we've had 8 Days of Hope. I can't, what's the brother's name that runs 8 Days
Steve
of Hope?
Tiber.
Steve Tiber.
Mm-hmm.
I just went blank. We've had him on before on Today's Issues talking about it. And if I'm not mistaken, he has said that FEMA and other government agencies frequently contact them mm-hmm. to get to find out what they're doing and can they get to such and such a location. Now, they're not getting paid from the government for that. But just to your point, Walker, Christian organizations do such great work. Mm-hmm. And because their motivation is to please Christ, they're not punching a clock. So you're going to get that going the extra mile kind of intensity and volunteerism and those kinds of things. So I hope that we can get away from what has seemed to have been the secular view that has kind of entrenched itself in a lot of Supreme Court rulings mm-hmm. and lower court rulings, that Christians are the enemy of the state. I don't think the government, obviously, and this is what our founders believed, Fred, that the government has no business picking winners and losers when it comes to favored denominations. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the government's job. It's not the government's job to tell Christians, well, you're not Christian enough or you can't hold this view. So some of that has become entrenched. I hope we can move away from that, and maybe this will be the starting point. Of course, we have no guarantee that what the Supreme Court will rule mm-hmm. on this, but it is heartening to hear that most of the justices seem to be suspicious of the argument that this school shouldn't get rubber mats because the kids attend a Christian school. So Christian kids can go out and hurt themselves, and we're all in favor of that.
Well, let us remember that there are some Christian taxpayers out there.
Yes.
and they give money to the state, and the state is glad to get their money, just like they get money from atheists, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yeah.
So to me, that is the issue. It's we're going to punish you because you're Christian.
Yeah.
And that has to stop. So I think the pendulum has to come back a bit. And as you gentlemen were saying, there is room for that to happen. None of us wants to give any public school the right to be preaching about something,
right?
Whatever the religion may be, because we would get up and be very vocal if we had a story come across our desk today that in a public school somewhere, Islam was being
infected. Right.
In fact, that's not a stretch. That is happening.
Yeah.
And
yes.
We've been doing stories on that, and we speak out against it.
Right.
Because you don't want your 5-year-old, 6-year-old son and daughter having an imam come in and say, we're going to show you how to pray.
Right.
In Islam. We don't want that. So it has to be across the board. On the other hand, we want the freedom of a student at a school during lunch hour, if they want to pray and read their Bible, then an atheist right. group ought not to have the right to come in and say, you can't have a Bible on your desk. Mm-hmm. You can't pray, students.
Well, we had Rob Chambers on yesterday talking about a great victory here in the state of Mississippi with regards to Stone County School District, where they relented under pressure from Christian attorneys, I think Matt Staver's group, the Liberty Institute or Liberty Council. Liberty Council. And because the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a school-recognized group inside the Stone County School District, these Christian kids wanted to be able to hand out Bibles during non-instructional time. The school said, no, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. They were informed about what the Constitution said. So these are, I think, lines that just about everyone agrees are valid. A teacher handing out Bibles to students, I think most of us would say, I'm not for that because of what could happen in the schoolroom right next door.
Yes.
If it's a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever. So, but students feel free to pray at CU at the poll or to have FCA meetings or hand out Bibles, those kind of things. I think that's a compromise that most of us agree is commonsensical.
Yeah. So we will see. Of course, the Supreme Court will take a little while to decide on this. But at least from Travis Weber at the Family Research Council, he was very optimistic in what he heard. Now, again, there's always that caution.
Right.
Because the way of the justices, they work. Sometimes you'll listen to a justice and the line of questioning, and you say, I think that one,
yes.
he's with us. Yeah. And then he'll turn around and write something entirely different.
So, absolutely.
So anyway, that's the conclusion of Travis Weber as of today. We'll wait for the decision.
And the decision could be anywhere between now and the end of June. June 30th is the deadline for Supreme Court decisions for cases that are heard you know, in the 6 months before that.
Yep. Now, we want to move on to another story we're working with today at American Family News. And that is the issue of Ann Coulter being told she cannot speak at Berkeley, that very famous university in California. And now, the background on all of this, the Young Americas Foundation was one of the sponsors for her to come and speak. I think most of our audience knows who Ann Coulter is. Very shy, long blonde hair.
Yes, soft-spoken.
Soft-spoken.
Wouldn't hurt a fly, wouldn't insult anybody if you paid her to do it.
I would not want to debate that person.
Me either.
Not at all. But anyway, she was scheduled to speak on April 27th, which is a week from today, at Berkeley. And the Young Americas Foundation had invited her along with some others to come in. I think the Berkeley College Republicans, not sure how big that group is on Berkeley, but invited her to come in to speak on the issue of immigration. Now, you knew right away there was going to create some controversy. But what has happened is that Berkeley, out of fear that there may be some students upset with Ann Coulter speaking there, has decided to cancel the event. Now, Ann Coulter, over the last 24 hours, has stated, I'm going to Berkeley, and I'm going to speak somewhere. So that's going to be an interesting story for next Thursday. But all of this just points to where many, not all, but many of our universities have headed. And that is in the far-left ideology now being intimidated to the point. We saw the other protests just several days ago on Berkeley of the black-hooded individuals,
right. mm-hmm.
confrontation with pro-Trump people. I mean, we are talking about riots. We are talking about, some people even describe it as anarchy on our campuses, if not in physical violence, in ideological confrontations that to the point where the left says it's perfectly all right for us to have our point of view on campus.
Right.
It is not right. And I was listening to Michelle Malkin, another very shy individual, this morning on Fox. And I want to play you a little bit about what she had to say about the Coulter issue, about Berkeley canceling it. But then Michelle Malkin expanded on this to talk about the environment on our campuses today. And then she made a suggestion to conservative parents about what they need to be thinking about these days when it comes to spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to send your Johnny and Jane to one of these universities. So let's have a listen to Michelle.
Well, if she were an illegal alien, she would have been embraced on campus. And Janet Napolitano, the former DH secretary, who's now the chancellor of the UC system, would have granted her an honorary PhD. But because she's a conservative, she's a pariah. I spoke at Berkeley in 2004. They had to chain the lecture doors while all of the free speech advocates outside were banging on that door and yelling shame for my entire one-hour lecture. So
they
very little
doors,
has changed over the last 13 years.
They chained the doors closed for you?
Yes, and I had a ring of both Berkeley Police Department and campus security protecting us the whole entire time. There is no safe space and safe bubble for conservatives on college campuses. And really the bottom line here, and I need to hear it more and more from parents, particularly Fox viewers, is that they're finally going to take their money and run and stop subsidizing these propaganda machines that ostracize people who express political dissent. These people do not believe in ideological diversity. They are not about the search for truth. They can't handle the truth. And the only kind of enlightenment that appears on the Berkeley campus is from the Molotov cocktails that these people toss at conservatives when they dare to come on to their safe spaces.
Tell us how you really feel.
You can't handle the truth.
I would love to see a debate between Michelle Malkin and Ann Coulter.
On the same side, so I'd love I'd like to see them tag team, though.
Yeah, that would be
against
good.
Some liberals. No, listen, this is a very serious thing in our country. It is clear to me that the reason why a lot of millennials and even younger have departed from the in large part, not total. You're a millennial, and there's some fine millennials that work around here. My son and daughter are conservative, but far too many have rejected the truths that this country has been built upon. And we're talking about free speech. Mm-hmm. And you can go to some of these websites that do these man on the street interviews on college campuses. And it's shocking what these young people believe should be done with people who are conservative. So how did this happen? Well, we can't just blame MTV. I don't think many millennials even watch that. Mm-hmm. I think it is because far too many of them have grown up in the political correctness of the public school system and then go to not even just politically correct, radicalized university and college campuses, far too many of them. There are plenty of good schools. But these kids are being brainwashed. And this is the kind of result you get: conservatives coming, Michelle Malkin or Ann Coulter or whoever, even that Mia Yiannopoulos, the homosexual conservative. He was, of course, I think he relished it, but they are oftentimes forced off the campus or their events canceled, and it's because of these. As Michelle Malkin talked about, these are institutions that are radicalizing our young people, and far too many of them, I think, have Marxist and even anarchic views of anarchy for our country.
You know, I have a suggestion, and I don't know how to go about this, but this is almost becoming it's becoming like a Ferguson style protest rally. What do you call what they're doing? When they're burning stuff, throwing cocktails.
Riots.
They're having riots. I think the Attorney General's office of the California Attorney General and Governor aren't going to do anything. But Jeff Sessions might need to send a letter over to the state and say, look, this is government property, state-run property. Y'all, people are being hurt every time a conservative speaker comes. Y'all need to either get this under control or we're going to have to intervene in some form or fashion. Because you can't have anarchy every other week on a college campus and expect it to just become the norm.
Yeah, remember, though, this is California, a state that is drifting towards wanting to make itself an entire sanctuary state.
Yeah.
They'll be openly defiant.
I don't expect that to happen internally amongst their own government.
That whole state, I feel bad for them. And by the way, it was Milo Yiannopoulos. I don't know where I got Mia, but... That whole state is drifting towards radicalization. I don't know how conservatives can stand being in that atmosphere.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but this epidemic of radical ideology travels throughout the country on university campuses, University of Missouri, in the last couple of years.
Right.
It really doesn't matter. And Michelle Malkin hit the nail on the head when she said, you know, we have these universities that preach about diversity, and they'll preach about free speech rights and all of those sorts of things, but there is no ideological diversity. Same problem in our mainstream media today, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But there is, and it is a closed shop. I mean, I don't believe you can get a job as a professor at a university today if you dare to say, I believe in the authority of Scripture.
Right.
If you bring that into an interview at a Berkeley or another large university in this country.
Even most state universities around the country, I would say.
Exactly. You're not going to get a job.
Right.
So that is the first indication that, you know, there is no ideological diversity on our campuses anymore. And to Michelle Malkin's point, and I've been saying this now, you know, for a couple of years, I really do believe Christian parents have got to start thinking, because as our Dan Celia reminds us, all the money we have in our pocket is God's.
Right.
Do you really think God wants you to spend $100,000 of the money he has given you to send your kid to a university to be exposed and indoctrinated by the far left who hates God?
And maybe even lose their faith, these kids.
Maybe even lose their faith. Now, I've heard the argument about, well, that's where their faith is going to be tested. But I would say the vast majority of kids, even coming out of evangelical churches today, and Barna has done surveys on this. We've had many people, guests on this program, who say sadly, the church is not doing a good enough job to ground. Most kids today get an hour of Sunday school.
Right.
If that.
And who knows what they're taught.
And then we throw them to the wolves on our universe and use our money for the other side, the far left, to indoctrinate them.
Yeah.
We have got to stop. Now, I know Christian universities are a little bit more expensive, but I've said at least for the first year, send your kid to a Christian university.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where they'll be helped to be grounded even more. And, you know, the other argument is, well, if we take the salt totally out of the public universities, what's going to happen? I can understand that if you have an 18, 19, or 20-year-old that's strong in their faith, has got Christian apology down,
right?
You know, that they're Alex McFarlane's,
right?
All of them. Yeah. I wouldn't be afraid of sending an Alex McFarlane in there.
Right.
That would be fun to see that kind of thing. And Alex is not afraid to go to university campuses. But let's face it, most of our 17 and 18-year-olds are not Alex's.
Right.
They're not ready to face the war in thought, and their theology being attacked, and the other side saying Christians are the problem.
And you know what, Fred? It's not an even-handed debate either on these college campuses. There is tremendous coercion and intimidation that goes on. So you're not just talking about how much these kids know or whether they can defend their faith. You're talking about, can they stand up to tremendous pressure?
Yes.
And, you know, the left always argued for free speech rights during the 60s and 70s when conservatives, or at least traditionalists, were in charge of the universities. Now that liberals are in charge, all of a sudden now you don't get the same rights that we had, that we were demanding when we were college students.
Yep.
Well, anyway, that's some ranting on my part, and I stand by every word of it. All right, Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman, we are your hosts. It is Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking more news and more stuff happening with some of the great advice we gave you. Man, you can take that stuff to the bank. Anyway, a couple minutes, we'll be back. Please come back and join us. We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time. Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We at the American Family Association believe men should not be allowed to use women's restrooms or dressing rooms. Yet the policy of Target allows just that. Do you agree that this policy poses danger to our women and children? Then sign the Boycott Target Pledge. When you do, you're saying, until Target makes the safety of women and children a priority, I'll shop elsewhere. The good news is the boycott is making a big difference. A Target financial report indicates a dramatic drop in their sales and earnings. And a Wall Street Journal article clearly shows that Target CEO Brian Cornell regrets his company's policy announcement welcoming men to use women's restrooms and dressing rooms. We're convinced that together we can stop this insanity before more women and children become victims. Sign the pledge today and tell others about the boycott. Go to afa.net/target. That's afa.net/target.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Another free speech controversy at the University of California, Berkeley. Administrators canceled an upcoming speech by conservative commentator Ann Coulter. The university says they cannot guarantee her safety. Well, if in fact Berkeley liberals are as dangerous as the university alleges, call in the National Guard. Or better yet, stop telling the police to stand down. But let's be clear. This is not about public safety. This is about banning speech the university disagrees with. Young America's Foundation sponsored Ms. Coulter's speech, and they tell me the event will go on as planned in defiance of the university. Well, good for them. It's about time somebody stood up to these far-left academic goons. In the meantime, Congress should do its part and immediately pull the plug on Berkeley's federal funding. No free speech. No taxpayer cash. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back. And that's right. If you have not gotten enough today of Ed, Fred, and Walker, you can go back and listen to it again. You can get the podcast. No, that's for folks who missed the show or who might want their friends to hear it. Maybe they missed it. You can get this at afr.net. And Walker, we also have our Facebook. We encourage people to like our Facebook page. Tell them about Facebook and our live streaming there.
Well, you can go on Today's Issues Facebook page, watch the show. Ed and I are wearing our springtime shirts today.
Yes,
our
this is not pink. Shirt. This is salmon, and I stand by that.
What is mine? A dark
yours
salmon?
Yours is, yeah, dark salmon.
Yours is Pacific salmon. Mine's Atlantic.
That's right. There you go. And Fred, I don't know. He's Canadian.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have the trout.
The trout. Yeah, there you go.
So you can go and watch the show there, get our latest attire from the Facebook page. No, but seriously, you can go there, find the news stories, comment on the show. Everything Today's Issues you can find on our Facebook page, and you can also go to our website, afr.net, and listen to the podcast and listen live on your laptop or on your smartphone.
All right. Well, Fred, this program, along with everything else we try to do, American Family News and One News Now, and we have the Talk Network, and we're all about getting news and information to our listeners and those who read online and the AFA Journal, you know, because it's kind of hard to find our niche because, you know, really with all the even-handed news that's out there and news done from a non-biased perspective. Mm. People can get their news almost anywhere. Well, no, tongue-in-cheek. We exist.
I was just going to ask you, where you been living?
We exist because the news media has been biased for 40 years longer, but they really kind of came out of the closet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What's your next story about? This is so interesting.
Well, you mentioned this has been going on a long time. Walter Cronkite, who, you know, America trusted, and that's the
CBS
way.
CBS news anchor.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it was.
Yeah, every night. Close up. You're too young to remember that.
Yeah, Walter Cronkite.
I just shake my head in recognition.
Whatever you say.
Yeah.
But you know, back then, Walter Cronkite was a far left. And I'm not sure where it all began in the media, but it is full force today. You know, we were just talking about our university campuses, and Michelle Malkin was talking about a lack of ideological diversity. Well, that goes for our newsrooms across the country today, secular newsrooms. It's one of the reasons that Brother Don, a founder of this ministry, he decided just over 20 years ago that he needed his own news service.
Right.
Because if you go back and listen to some of the old tapes when Brother Don was being interviewed on NBC and that sort of thing, Brother Don figured out pretty quickly that if you're going to leave it up to an editor in a secular newsroom as to how they're going to treat your point of view as a conservative, forget about it.
Right.
And we've seen the dishonesty. There have been cases in recent years where the context of a conservative point of view, they've actually, you know, played around with that to make it sound something that wasn't.
Well, Katie Couric got in a lot of trouble within this last 6 months or so, maybe the last year, where she was interviewing. It was a Second Amendment story about guns, and they actually edited the answer of the opponent, the people who are pro-gun, to make it look like they didn't have an answer to her question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They inserted them being quiet, and she got in a fair bit of trouble when conservative media released the fact that they had falsely portrayed the pro-gun side.
And remember, it was the Trayvon Martin case in Florida.
Yes.
An NBC producer actually just skipped a whole area, which changed the whole reflection of the story.
Right.
If you think that, you know, the integrity hasn't been compromised on stories, and the bottom line in all of this is that many times today, you're getting a very tainted story that does not reflect the truth. But the other part of it is that basically you have, and Pew Research has proven this, 90% of the journalists working in the secular media in this country vote Democrat.
Right.
I've said it before. Mm-hmm. Most of these reporters that you look at just...
And that's from studies and surveys.
Yeah. Not done by Christian groups.
Right.
Pew is not Christian.
Right.
But they've looked at it. They've asked people, how did you vote? And this became very, very evident after the election or during the election campaign and post-election of Barack Obama. And what the Media Research Center, which is a conservative organization run by Brent Bozell.
Right.
You see him on Fox News from time to time. What they've done in the last few days is come out with a report, and they analyzed how the mainstream media treated Barack Obama in his first 100 days as president, and comparing it to how the mainstream media has treated President Donald Trump.
Right.
He's coming up on the end of his first 100 days. You're probably not shocked by the results. Between 80 and 90% of the stories done in the first 100 days of President Barack Obama, we're celebrating. We're just, everything is hunky-dory.
Right.
And I want to play you a montage of sounds of reporters and reporters' pieces that the MRC has put together, Media Research Center has put together, of how the reporters were treating President Barack Obama in that first 100 days.
It's amazing.
It was really incredible.
It was a giant love fest.
It was.
I'm telling you.
It was.
When Barack Obama started to speak, I was right in the middle of the crowd. People were crying. They were laughing. They were cheering. Suddenly, someone would just come up and hug you. It was just amazing. It was like you're standing in the middle of these strangers, and all of a sudden, you had a million friends around you. That's what it felt like yesterday.
I think yesterday was a day, no matter who you supported in the election, it was hard not to, if not impossible, not to feel the excitement and the joy in our nation. Amazing.
So it was that as many as 2 million pilgrims made their way to Washington and the Mall to witness this most sacred event.
Never have so many people shivered so long with such joy.
From above, even the seagulls must have been awed by the blanket of humanity.
Anyway, we've got Barack Obama as our president and Michelle Obama as our first lady. We're all immensely proud.
You're just too good to be true.
What the Obamas bring to Buckingham Palace is a charisma not seen since the Kennedys.
To be honest, most Europeans were going to like whoever replaced President Bush. But there's no doubt Michelle and her husband have an extra je ne sais quoi.
I have to tell you, Charlie, I was blown away by President Obama's grasp of the subject, how he connected the dots, how he answered the questions without any script.
Do you think the Republicans are digging themselves in a hole by not being more supportive of the president's proposals?
Now, a friend of mine said, oh my God, we have a president again. Now, in some ways, that's not fair to Bush, but that's the way you felt. You felt this was a guy who was totally in charge.
I like to say that in some ways, Barack Obama is the first president since George Washington to be taking a step down into the Oval Office.
I'm saying it again. I'm getting a thrill.
Wow. Even the seagulls. That might have been my favorite comment. My favorite comment to mock. Wow, that is that you talk about a love fest. Now, you're just too good to be true. The song there, that wasn't on one of the news programs, right? That was just inserted just to kind of
I think it was
for laughs. That listen, now I will say this. I'll try to we're going to try to be fair here. I'm going to try to be fair. I think probably some of that enthusiasm was because he was the first black president, which was a historic from where. The African-American community came from in this country to having a president in the White House. So I will give those reporters about a 20% break on that and explain 20% of their enthusiasm for that reason. But it was clear that they hated George Bush and they were glad a Democrat was in the office because he was one of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's, I think, what was driving the majority of that.
I mean, it was they referring to the people who showed up for the inauguration, the 2 million pilgrims or the pilgrimage.
Yeah.
You know, and then what's his name from MSNBC that you heard a couple of times?
Oh, Chris Matthews.
Yeah. Was he also the one that felt a chill up his leg?
Yes,
or something
that was
like
him.
That was Chris Matthews.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this went on, and it's not just the first 100 days. You know, most of our listeners know that this went on for 8 years.
Right.
It did.
Well, an easy comparison to this is somebody in that clip said, you know, we were amongst strangers and we all just hugged each other and felt like we knew everybody. Talking about the crowd, I guess, watching the inauguration. But then this past inauguration, President Trump, people are sending out photos saying that this crowd is smaller than President Obama's crowd. Mm. And then that's all the major media outlets talked about on Inauguration Day and the day following.
Well, you had the riots, and then you had the Women's March the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Remember some of the things that were said there? We've had celebrities talking about bombing the White House. I mean, on and on and on it's gone. And you know, I look at some of the summaries of the news headlines, especially, you know, in between November and January 20th, and it was negative, negative, negative.
Well, in fact, there was a recent survey out study. Might have been the Media Research Council. Is it
Media Research Center?
Center that it was in the 80 percentile. Might have been as high as 88% of stories about Trump negative.
Oh yeah. That's part of this study. And you know. I had a discussion with a vice president on one of the major media this week. Expressing my concern about biases. And my word to him was, I'm not looking for favor treatment for President Trump. Fair treatment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, just give me the facts of what is going on. I don't need reporters writing pieces with four or five adjectives coming out of their biases on a particular decision.
Right.
That is not news reporting. I think I've told the story before. When I first started in a network newsroom with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, I had ex-BBC people teaching me. And their rule, and they were not...
That's the British Broadcasting Corporation.
They were not conservatives. But there was pride taken in the product to the point that a story did not make it on the air, on the network, if the editor could see a bias in something that I wrote. It's not going to make it on the air. Mm-hmm. Because it is not our job. Our job is to inform, not to lead somebody to a conclusion based on my biases.
Right.
Now, you may have people out there saying, wait a minute, you're a Christian news agency. Yes, we are. But we tell people that.
Yes.
We believe truth is defined by the Bible.
Right.
And we don't mm-hmm. compromise on that. I mean, that's why we exist.
Right.
Is to contrast what is going on in our world and put it up against Scripture. Not our opinion. Mm-hmm. Our reporters right. and editors, it's, you know, our opinion is our opinion. And we do, in an American Family Radio Talk, we express opinions here. But in the news pieces, our endeavor is to, when we speak about abortions, it's always in reference to where God's word stands on that issue.
Right.
That's, and we make no apology for that.
And we're not, like you said, we're not hiding this.
That's our standard. Yeah. Right. That's our standard because we do believe the Bible is the source of absolute truth. And therefore, it doesn't change because God doesn't change.
Right.
I mean, that's the environment in which we work. And so when you're listening to American Family Radio, that's what you're going to get. Now, we are not going to shy away from the facts.
Right.
Sometimes, and I remember when it was President Barack Obama in the White House, sometimes I get phone calls or emails saying, why am I hearing President Barack Obama on American Family Radio newscast? Why am I seeing him quoted on onenewsnow.com? Well, because he's the president and we want you to know what he's saying.
Right.
And just because we're telling you what he's saying doesn't mean we agree with it.
Right.
But we need to tell you what he's saying.
Right.
And then we'll have somebody come in behind that and say, no, this is wrong and here's why.
Yeah.
But we want to be clear, and we don't edit out what liberals may say because liberals pretty well hang themselves. So why would you want to leave
right.
it out anyway? So that's our point of view, and that's what we endeavor to do each day. But what has happened on the other side, on the liberal side, there is no ideological variety in the newsrooms. One of the reasons I left the CBC in Canada was I went from that experience of the National Radio Newsroom in Toronto to a day 17 years later when I was told our standard now is point of view journalism. And by what they meant by that is that we want reporters to express their opinions, but we're only hiring reporters that agree with one opinion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are today, whether it's university campuses, whether it's the secular newsrooms.
They admitted that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's the way the narrative went. And I remember going to training courses after training courses because I was a senior editor and running news operations. Look, everybody has their biases, all right? So let's not pretend you don't have biases. But so why don't you just go ahead and display it anyway and put it out there as part of the news story? That's the way the philosophy evolved to the point where we are today. That for the most part, it is rare to see a conservative in a liberal newsroom. If I was a betting man, as your granddad would say, Walker, if I was a betting man, I would say that 90 to 95% of the people working at ABC News, and I'm talking about reporters, mm-hmm. not necessarily behind the scenes, I'm talking about the journalists, ABC, NBC, CNN, are probably not conservative.
Right.
You probably wouldn't last very long as a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You probably wouldn't get hired as a conservative because you don't fit the ideology that they're driving home. And you heard the example of that in that montage. That was the secular media on display, that montage that you just heard.
Well, and a lot of times on shows that are opinion shows, and we're talking quote unquote mainstream media, and I'm gonna mention a show, and folks, some of you are gonna laugh when I mention it, but even a show like The View on ABC, which used to have Barbara Walters, I think, was on it and stuff like
many
that.
Years.
But they'll have one conservative in the midst of five liberals.
Yeah.
And they call themselves being even-handed, but they have one on there, and it's easy to shout them down, and kind of over with sheer numbers, drown their conservative voice. So that would explain, I would guess, what you're talking about, Fred, the success of Fox News.
Yes.
Because and someone like Rush Limbaugh, who preceded he preceded Fox News, didn't he, on the radio? He was on for. Because I think Bill O'Reilly, who we're going to mention here in just a second, he was on the radio, I think, as well as television. But anyway, that would explain the success of Fox News, because there was a great hunger out there for, first of all, for unbiased news, which they couldn't get from the mainstream media. But then you can't get that, then at least a conservative perspective to try to balance it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, going back to surveys done by secular people, when it came to rating people, Americans rating professions and that sort of thing, journalists were down near the bottom right there with lawyers and others as far as those who were disdained. And I think somebody, I guess Rupert Murdoch at Fox, picked up on this. He saw just what we were talking about. Most of the mainstream media was going far left. And he said, wait a minute. I think there are some conservatives out there which might explain the Rush Limbaugh success.
Right.
And he said, let's do some television news that way. And so he found some people who were willing to, like Sean Hannity and others and Bill O'Reilly, that were willing to express a point of view or at least give it equal weighing with liberals. Yeah. And I will applaud Fox for doing that, because most of the time they have panels on.
Yes.
And you'll have somebody from the far left and you will have a conservative on there. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what people want. They may get angry with that liberal who's, that point of view. The late Alan Combs, I remember going back, I think he and Hannity at one time had a show
together. Hannity and Combs.
And they went back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, I will say CNN did have Crossfire.
At one time.
At one time, which was a half an hour.
Buchanan, I think, was on.
Pat Buchanan was on for a while. And I can picture the guy with the glasses, Harris, I think. But anyway, they had a couple of different, Juan Williams, I think, was one of them. But I think maybe Fox saw the value of having that kind of debate style.
Yeah.
And then where, what's Fox's? I'm having a hard time today.
Handy?
Fair and balanced.
Yeah, yeah.
You decide.
That's their slogan.
Yeah, their slogan. Fair and balanced, you decide.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's a formula of success.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of people can't understand is Fox has been making hundreds of millions of dollars every year, ending up on top of all the cable news stations, number one consistently.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which has allowed them to, pay their hosts millions of dollars.
Right.
Because they're making huge amounts of money. I have not been able to understand why a CNN or an ABC, one of the networks, wouldn't look at that and say, hey, we want a piece of that pie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're business people.
Yeah.
Supposedly, if you're in business, you're in business to make some profit.
Unfortunately, I think I would guess that their ideology overcomes their business.
That's the only explanation.
Yeah. Well, the reason I say that is because it only makes sense from a business perspective, whether you be conservative or liberal, to provide your consumers with both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you go to McDonald's, you can get a cheeseburger or a non-cheeseburger. And,
right.
And you bring both people in who like both, and you provide them with, and they get to pick. Yeah. But I know that's not a big problem, hamburgers, but it's a good example that you have people who like different things. And so, but in this case, CNN, other news outlets who don't provide much of a conservative perspective, I think they have been overcome by their ideology and their personal beliefs to where they apply their own that standard that they have themselves to their entire business practice.
And we just don't understand it. I mean, that is now carried over into the corporate world. And we've been dealing with Target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just can't understand. Just don't say anything about these controversial issues.
Well, I think part of the explanation, because at the root is ideology, as you're saying, Walker. But I think they're so blinded by their ideology, like CNN and MSNBC. I think they just believe there really aren't that many conservatives out there, and that most of the world really does agree with us. I think that's what they think. That's why they don't change.
Yeah.
They don't change because they think most people actually agree with us. Because that's the world that they run in. So before we go here for this segment, we do want to mention the fact, we can't ignore the fact that that according to reports, Fred, Bill O'Reilly is through at Fox News, which it really is the end of an era.
It's been confirmed. We saw the statement yesterday that went out to the staff of Fox News, and they did an investigation into allegations that have been made against Bill O'Reilly and came to the conclusion with him that it was best for him to depart. And so he went on vacation last Friday night.
To Italy.
Mm-hmm. And went to Italy.
Yeah.
Shook hands with the Pope yesterday.
Yeah.
That's where he got the news, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, he is gone, and it is not up for us to decide and put the hammer down on who's guilty here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opinions out there.
Right.
You know, was he taken advantage of? Were the left behind it and all that sort of thing? Or is guilty as charged? We don't know.
Right.
But he's gone.
And we probably won't ever know. Because
no. These
are the kind of things where there's a payout and we're not talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do think there is a story today, and we have this on One News Now, is O'Reilly is out at Fox, but influence endures. And that's what we're talking about here. And that to me is the real story to carry on from here. Like him or not, and personally, I stopped watching Bill O'Reilly a long time ago because his ego got in the way many times.
Yeah,
I could see
that.
And so I wasn't a big fan of his show, although he had some interesting interviews from time to time. But he was part of a movement that Roger Ailes started at Fox News to recognize that the conservative point of view on politics and various issues should have a platform.
Right.
A platform where it's not mocked. A platform where, wait a minute, that does make sense.
Right.
So that people out there who run their lives according to a more conservative ideology weren't made fun of, weren't dismissed as being a bunch of wackos, weren't in that camp that President Barack Obama described as the people who cling to their guns and their Bibles.
Right.
You know, people are fed up with that. The people that Hillary Clinton described as a basket full of deplorables.
Right. Irredeemable.
Irredeemable deplorables. And so Fox just they just keyed in on the fact that there's a whole, at least I guess 63 million or 70 million or more out there that no, they have a conservative point of view, and not everybody agrees with homosexual marriage
right. In
America. Not everybody agrees with abortion. In fact, a growing number disagree with abortion.
Right.
And so that is out there, and the AP story says his influence will endure. And it's not so much, it's not Bill O'Reilly's influence. It is the influence of someone, a business that says, they deserve conservatives an equal platform, an equal voice, and we're going to give it to them. And that's why I believe the departure of O'Reilly is not going to affect the ratings at all. They will continue to be a success. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly may be gone, but conservatives are still there, and that's the constituency that Fox News will continue to serve.
Well, in some ways, O'Reilly and Limbaugh were just talented people who were in the right place at the right time. Their talents could be wed to that growing hunger out there to have a reflection of what conservatives believed. All right, Fred, thank you for being with us during this first hour. We have one more segment left. Steve Jordahl will be coming in from American Family News to talk about more of the stuff that is happening, the news that is happening. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news. No surprise there. We'll be right back with today's issue.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.